one of the things that the book is trying to accomplish is to help couples to think about the significance that Christ has in every single area of life. And so Christ is the center of everything. He's the center of love. He's the center of my life. He's the center of communication. He's the center of finances. And when he is that way, then that means that I'm coming in submission. I'm coming in humble dependence on the Lord to help me in each one of those areas to honor and please him. And so let's just take communication as an example. You know, one of the most powerful passages, I think, on communication is Proverbs 18:21. It says, "In the power of the tongue, there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue." And what that reminds us of is I can destroy relationships with my words, and I can build up relationships with my words. You know, it reminds us of the common adage that many of us heard when we were children, and that is, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And that's categorically opposed to what Scripture actually says, where life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so what I'm hoping that these couples learn to think about and to do is to be wise and thoughtful with their words. Now, when they're in pre-marriage time, they often are. You know, they're often spending time together when they choose to spend time together, as opposed to when they're forced to spend time together, which is what happens when we get married. But therefore, they don't necessarily spend a lot of time fighting, although some of them do. And what I want to help them to see is that Scripture provides them with a very clear picture of what it means to communicate in a Christ-centered way. So things like keeping current with one another, ensuring that they're keeping short accounts. And so the way the Word of God would describe it is you just solve today's problems today. Don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own, and therefore just deal with today's stuff. And so what I communicate to my couples is things like this. Problems are like bunnies. You can have two today or 1,000 tomorrow. And anybody who's ever had rabbits in their yards knows exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, rabbits have absolutely no morals whatsoever. And the whole point of that is deal with your problems today. So that way they don't build up and build up and build up and build up. In fact, much of my ministry is actually working with couples who have already been married, many of them 5, 10, 20, 30 years. And they're coming for some counseling help. And what we find is the sooner that they come, the better. Because if they wait 20 or 30 or 40 years, they have a lot of years of bitterness build up over the words that they have said to one another. And it's not that they can't be rescued. Many of them, in fact, are by God's grace. But it's a lot of work, and it's a lot harder when you have 30 years of wrong attitudes and bitterness built into a relationship than if you have 5 years built into it. Mm-hmm. And better yet, if you've got one day's worth. And so I want to encourage them to solve things right away. Don't let them simmer and soak and then generate bitterness in your heart. Or to think about this, encouragement. You know, the text of Scripture encourages us to put off all kinds of unwholesome words, but to instead to put on words that are edifying according to the need of the moment. So you just start unpacking that one little line, edifying according to the need of the moment, and you begin to realize that, you know, for the man, sometimes the most edifying thing that he can do is to be quiet and to give his new wife, or maybe not so new wife, a hug because things have been challenging for her. Or maybe there's a time when what's really needed is a word of correction. Maybe there's a little bit of an attitude going on that isn't very Christ-honoring, and so here's an opportunity to encourage her. Or the other way around, she could be doing the very same thing with him. And learning how to do that, and then learning times of just being thankful to one another and encouraging one another, using your words to build up, that pays huge dividends over the long haul, so that when there are moments of challenge, those moments of challenge are seen as small pieces of a much larger relationship picture that is built on encouragement and edification, exactly what Christ designed. So those are a couple ways in which I'm seeking to help couples understand what Christ at the center of your communication would actually look like. You know, when you talk about finances, finances are a wide open category, in part because so many couples, when they're getting married, they have such a broad range of financial conditions. You know, sometimes people are getting married when they're 35 and they've had 15 years of work experience and they have no debt and they have a significant 401k and they've managed their money well, and so they actually have quite a bit of financial resources. And then you have on the other end of that spectrum, maybe two right out of college students, both of whom decided to do college through debt, and now they're, you know, about ready to have six figures worth of debt onto their lives as a result of marrying one another. And so one of the things that I want to do is, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to have personal conversations with people, because inevitably the advice in a book is only going to go so far. There's going to be some additional needs that are required to talk through and to encourage couples through as they begin to put that into practice. But at least I want to do a few things with them. And that is, I want them to see how the Word of God talks about money management. And it doesn't just simply give percentages. You know, so often finance books do exactly that. They'll tell you that, well, you should spend 28% on this, or 10% for that, or 5% for this over here, or 7% on that. And yet, those percentages are not found in Scripture. And the truth is, those percentages don't even make sense in the vast majority of our world. They make sense in the 21st century United States. And outside, they don't even make sense if you go back 100 years in the United States. And so what I want to help them do is to see that the Word of God talks about things like greed. It talks about things like worry. It talks about things like generosity. It talks about things like planning. And the more that I wrestle with those concepts, the more that helps me to build a budget that is going to be something that is Christ-honoring. And it's not just simply a budget that works. Creating a budget that works is easy. You just add up the income, you add up the expenses, and if the expenses are more, you got some more work to do. But doing one that honors Christ is a higher standard. It requires the person to think more thoughtfully and wrestle more carefully with what the Scripture has to say. When you do that, that's what I'm asking my couples to do. Now, they're on the front end. Many of them, at least, are on the front end of those conversations. And so I realize that they're going to have to work at creating a budget, and their first draft, even their first year's budget, may not be exactly right yet. They're still cutting their teeth on that. But at least if I teach them the concepts, the principles that the Word of God describes, then they have the right heart attitude. And when they have the right heart attitude, they will eventually get the numbers right in a way that honors Christ.
So talk a little bit just about how you approach counseling, how biblical counseling approaches these issues, starting with the Word of God and then finding counsel from there. And how is that different from someone who may take a different counseling approach?
Yeah, our church and myself view biblical counseling as the pathway to helping people understand how to live to please and honor the Lord. And so what we do is we simply try to connect the life situation of those that we have the privilege of ministering to what the Bible actually says. And then we call them to do exactly what Scripture tells them to do. And so we believe in a sufficient Word of God. We believe in the doctrine of progressive sanctification, where a person takes a step. They don't reach immediate perfection, but they take a step, and then they take another step, and then they take another step. In other words, it's a growing relationship with the Lord. And so when couples are coming to biblical counseling, they understand that there's just a few things that we're trying to do, and we're trying to help them see where their life and the Word of God intersect, and then we're helping them to understand ways in which they may need to repent and may need to submit to the Scripture in ways that they hadn't before. and we're calling them to be learners as opposed to individuals who are just coming to tell us what they already think. And how that may differ is that the advice that someone who isn't committed to those things may give is maybe just simply not based on what the Bible would actually say. Now, it might be wise advice, it might be consistent with what the Bible says, but it's not like there's an open Bible on the table where you're investigating together what Scripture says. And I think for those couples who see a book like Tying the Knot, it's not the only resource out there that emphasizes Scripture or Christ or the Word of God, but those who investigate sources like that see that the text of Scripture is coming up again and again and again and again, and encouraging them to follow what that text says.